Amen. Yeah, it's good to be with y'all. Y'all know me. I'm one of these guys that love just being around people that are inspiring and push you to new levels and stuff like that, whether it's athletes or business people or ministers of the gospel, whatever. I just love being around people that just push you, you know, just inspire you. When, Tulio mentioned Kairos, and I told y'all before that we had started a wilderness resort down there. And when we heard about this piece of property, and so I heard that this guy owned it, and he was a very successful businessman in the area, but, you know, just didn't know anything about him, and heard he had been involved, you know, the school board and the local government in Giles County and stuff like that. Just heard these things about him, and those things don't impress me. But there's times that when you walk into somebody and you meet them face to face, that the Spirit of God in them and the Spirit of God bears witness what the Spirit of God is in you, and you feel the reality, the almost intimidation, literally, or the excellence just sort of exuding out from them. And it just causes things to come out of you positively. And I'll never forget when we had a chance to go in to meet with this man, Sean Hash, and I went in and to quote, find out if he was wanting to sell this piece of property or to, quote, negotiate with him about this piece of property. Well, when I walked in, I met this guy. His name is J.B. Buckland. Awesome man of God. Good old Baptist boy from the backwoods of Giles County. But just very successful. But when I met him, I just realized, man, this is a man of honor. This is a man of excellence. And so we started talking, and what happened was he started sharing his testimony about what God had done in his life, about literally how he was born in a very, very poor family and had nothing, and how literally from high school he just started just trying to operate in excellence. This is my interpretation, operate in excellence and integrity before the Lord. And literally, here's a guy who owns thousands and thousands of acres in Giles County. And so as we're talking, all of a sudden, you know, he says, well, so, you know, just turns to the conversation about buying this piece of property. And I didn't even ask him the price. I just said to him, I said, sir, I'll just be honest with you. You're a man of honor, and I do not want to even... I don't remember the exact words I used, but I don't even want to downgrade any way, shape, or form who you are by trying to attempt to negotiate with you. You've forgotten more than I know, so who am I to sit here and negotiate with you? And I just told him, he says, you tell us the price. And if that's the price that we can handle, that's the price we'll pay. And I said, I'm not going to counteroffer. I'm not going to do anything like that. I'm just going to tell you. You pray about it. And, you know, if you feel like it's the Lord putting on your heart to sell it to us, then you tell us the price. Well, he, you know, just sits there a few minutes and he tells us this price. It was literally about 48% of the appraised value of, I'm not talking about appraisal with the county, but I'm talking about appraisal with a very local conservative appraisal. And I'm going, okay, Jesus, you're doing a thing. And you know what? It just really communicated to me that when you walk in excellence as he did, it bears fruit, it manifests. And that's sort of what the title of the word this morning is the power to make wealth. This is a series that was started 3 weeks ago. And literally while we're right here, partnering with our abundant God in excellence. And so let me, if you would, if you need a handout too, just somebody maybe somehow will get you one, you know. And so there's Tim, Pat. And so so I just want to review where we covered last week. The first week I did this, we talked about the awesomeness of our abundant God. He is the God who does more than enough. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. He is the abundant one. He doesn't just supply your needs. He gives more than enough. More than enough. And so, just a couple of things I want to review. This is the passage we were dealing with. It says, you remember the Lord your God, For it is he who has given you the power to make wealth. And that's what we're after. That's the reality. That's the heart of a loving father, is to see us step into the destinies that he has for us. The passage of scripture in the New Testament we were dealing with is 2 Corinthians 8:9. Where it says that, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you know grace takes us to a level we cannot attain on our own. And it's the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sake he became poor, so that through his poverty we may become what? Rich. Now if that ain't gonna light you fire, man, dude, that's his whole heart. To give us the power to make wealth. And the whole heart is for us not to passively sit back and expect that it just automatically flows out. No, that would God empowering us into a slave or an orphan mentality. God is calling us into walk as sons and daughters of God. So where he's holding it out and he's saying, take it, take it. And that's what he does with everything. He did not force his salvation onto you. He held it out, and we receive it by faith. And it's the same thing with everything that he is. And the other thing is that what we defined last week is wealth. Because many times when I say wealth, the power to make, you know, to make wealth, the first thing that people think is are dollar signs. Well, the reality is when you see scripture, wealth is more than that. It's relationships. It is finances. It is time. It is our physical body. It's a gift or ministry from the Lord. It's faith. It's our words. It's the treasures that we have in Christ Jesus. All of those things are wealth. And it's very dangerous to single out one of those and say, oh, I want this one, the one that has the dollar signs by it. Because what the Lord was saying, and I should have spoke this last week, there is a priority of wealth in Scripture. The priority is, let's go to the next slide, is literally relationships. Relationship is the most powerful wealth that you can have. Now, whether it's in business or in ministry or whatever occupation you were in, if you can catch the reality that relationships with God and relationships with one another is the most wealthy thing that you can ever have. But here's the cool thing is God is not wanting you and I to just have one. Our God is to see us abundant in all things. And that's why I could go down each one of those, eight different types of wealth. That see them manifest in our lives and what they are. And each one of them you could teach on so much. But notice this one. This one really shows me the priority of Jesus in the area of relationships. Over literally, you'll notice here, worldly possessions. Here, many people talked about Jesus, you know, where think Jesus was poor. You got to realize this, Jesus had real estate. He had a house in Capernaum. And, you know, he did say foxes, you know, such and such, but that was the time he was out ministering to stuff. But he literally had a house in Capernaum. When he had come back to Capernaum several days afterwards, it was heard that he was at home. So he's at home. He's at his house. He's at home. And many were gathered together there so that there was no room, not even near the door. And he was speaking the word to them. And all of a sudden, they came, bringing him a paralytic carried by four men. Being unable to get to him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. This is his house. They're picking his roof apart. And notice what Jesus does. And when they had dug an opening, that's in his roof, y'all, they let down the pallet on which the paralytic was laying, and Jesus, seeing their faith, not his roof, seeing their faith, said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven. And even tearing my roof apart, I'm sure, I don't know. But that just showed me, when I read that past scripture, the priority of relationships. That, you know, I mean, just even in a whatever thing you're doing, whether church or in business or whatever, you know, that relationships is the wealth that you have to protect over and above everything. Your relationship with God, your relationship with one another. Yeah, that's the wealth. And so anyway, going on. The other thing we talked about last week is this God, abundant God, has called us to participate with this past scripture in 2 Peter 1:3. So to see him released into us, because he is our wealth. He is it. Both riches and honor come from him. Literally. 1 Chronicles 29:12. Both riches and honor come from him. It lies in his hand to make great and strengthen everyone. From him. From him. And so to receive from him, we have to partner with him in the likeness of who he is. It's not him partnering with us in the likeness of us. It's he's the one that's God. That's why it says in Psalm 100, it talks about Psalm 100, some passage of scripture. My mind just went blank. Bloop. It's a good passage. I know that. But anyway, in this passage it says, seeing that his divine power has granted us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him. Literally, it says this in the Greek, who called us to his glory and excellence. And like we talked about last week, it's all about his glory. That's who he is. When you think about God's glory, you're thinking about who he is. And so when we're talking about the God of abundance, when you step into who he is, y'all, it is abundance. And it is right hand or pleasures forever. You can drink your fill of the rivers of his delights. That is the heart of our Father. And he says, drink. Come, drink. Problem is, for us, we're soulish beings living in a fleshly, physical world, and he's a spiritual being calling us out of the flesh and the soulish into the spirit. And that's he's calling us into his realm. That's where abundance can occur and is released into us. And so, glory and excellence. Let's go to the next slide, please. And so what we're going to talk about this morning is the reality of God's excellence. Participating, and I'm not going to get into details about his excellence. In fact, really, I'm sorry, but there's really three other words to this thing, and you'll see it here in a second, which I cannot go into details today. Cannot. We would be here till 3 o'clock, and it's so exciting to me, y'all. I'm just serious, y'all. I cannot get this out of me. I lay in bed at night thinking about the realities of him in this stuff. It's just messing me up in a good way. So let's go on. And so the reality is here, y'all. It talks about, like we talked about last week, you do not seek for money. You do not seek for wealth. The love of money is the root of evil. Those who long for it will suffer many pains, will fall into temptations. Money is it's like a bar of soap when you were a kid. You know, I don't know about y'all. But when I was a kid, you'd get in a bathtub as a kid, and you'd be playing in the bathtub, and you'd go bar of soap, and the more you try to grab it, the more it'd go away. And money's like that. And I remember saying, oh, man, if I could earn this amount of money, that'll be good. Earn that amount of money. And it wasn't totally good. So you earn this amount of money, this amount of money, this amount of money. Never enough. What? Because money is not the answer. He is. And this is the thing, Lord, show me. You don't seek for wealth. Wealth is drawn to the reality of him. Wealth is drawn to his glory and excellence. And let me just show you this. In Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And what? His righteousness and what? All these things, what? Will be added to you. Guess what? Is that true? Is the Word of God true? Now remember, y'all, there's no contradictions in the Word of God. The only thing is that the Word of God can contradict our what? Life. And make sure that you do not diss down on the Word, but literally have enough guts to say, okay, God, this is contradicting my life. And let's make some changes here. Don't change the Word of God. And so seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things. Literally added, it's drawn to you. In his kingdom is full of glory and excellence. Go to the next slide. Let me just give you some examples of this. Hezekiah in 2 Chronicles 31. Thus Hezekiah did throughout all Judah And he did what was good, right, and true. Y'all, those are two of the characteristics of excellence that's listed in Philippians 4:8. We'll talk about that another time. And he did what was good, right, and true. Three characteristics, sorry. Before the Lord his God, every work which he began in the service of God in law and in commandment, seeking his God, he did with all his heart. And notice that next phrase. And he what? Prospered. Wealth was drawn to him. Now remember, relationships, time, your physical body, faith, words, treasures, money, yes. I remember when I started out back in Okeechobee, you know, started out in the retail grocery business and just going, God, I heard professors tell me in seminary, my finance professor in seminary, I was majoring in banking and finance, and he told me, he says, you cannot be successful in business and be a Christian. He pronounced that hard, and I'm going, God, that sounds like a challenge to me. And then in the passion of my heart was to minister Jesus with youth wherever I could go. And so two things God put in my heart. Lord, I just want to believe you to be successful in business. And two is to deal Jesus with youth wherever I go. The goal in my heart is I just want to love you. That's the whole thing that in my heart was, Lord, if I want to be known for one thing, I just want to be known for Rick Sizemore, love God. That's all I want to know, be known for. But those were two goals that were just put in my heart to walk toward. And God is so faithful in that, just like Hezekiah. Hezekiah didn't seek for the wealth. He just sought the Lord to operate with that which is what? Was good, right, and true. And God, in whatever he did, prospered. Go to Solomon in 1 Kings. Look at Solomon. This is amazing to me. Y'all know the story of Solomon, King Solomon. And how, look how the wealth of the world is drawn to a man of things that start to manifest an excellence of God. Look at this. It says, now when the queen of Sheba from Egypt heard about the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord. That's big, really, all the next phrase there, concerning the name of the Lord. Get that. It says, she came to test him with difficult questions. So she came to Jerusalem with a large retinue of camels carrying spices, very much gold and precious stones. And when she came to Solomon, she spoke with him about all that was in her heart. And Solomon answered all her questions. Nothing was hidden from the king, which he did not explain to her. Go to the next slide, please. And said, go to the next one, please. There it goes. And she says to him, you exceed in wisdom and prosperity the report which I heard. Notice this. Now, here's a godless queen from Egypt. Notice what her response is. Blessed be the Lord your God who delighted in you to set you on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever. Therefore, he made you king to do justice and righteousness. She gave the king 120 talents of gold and very great amounts of spices and precious stones. What? Like, that's really what he needed. You know what that is? That's the excellence of God drawing the wealth of the world. Listen to this one in Isaiah 60. Arise, shine, for the light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness will cover the face of the earth. Deep darkness, the peoples. But the Lord will rise upon you. The world will be dark, but God says, I'll rise upon you. And it says, the nations will come to your light, and the kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift your eyes around you, see, they all gather together, they come to you. Your sons will come from afar, your daughters will be carried in arms. And watch this. Then you will see and be radiant. You will see what? You'll see the glory of the Lord. Your heart will thrill and rejoice because of the abundance of the sea will be turned to you. The wealth of the nations will come to you. That's our destiny, y'all. That is the destiny of the children of the Most High God, who operate in His glory and His excellence. And let me just say this to y'all. That will not occur when we operate in our glory, seeking our glory, and also our, quote, excellence. There's a lot of definitions out there about excellence. But the reality is that when you step into God's glory and excellence, it causes things to happen. One of the most awesome modern day examples of this is, to me, is Chick-fil-A. I could ask how many people in here are addicted to eat at Chick-fil-A. It's amazing to me. You got it's kind of, when Max and Francis come in, there's two places in this area that have playgrounds: Burger King, and Chick-fil-A. Burger King, man, massively successful. But go into a Burger King and go into Chick-fil-A. It's no comparison. I mean, you're going into a fast food place. You go to the one here. Go to a fast food place here. And there's this dude, there's this elderly gentleman, very stately gentleman, walks around with a tie, wiping tables and sitting down and talking to standing there talking to all the people, helping them take their stuff. I'm going, this is a fast food place. Don't open on Sunday. When the world was pushing them about the righteousness of the world, they stood strong and spoke things. I literally believe in truth and love. And as a result, Chick-fil-A is one of the most successful fast food restaurants on missing 1/7 of the day of business. Think about that. What would be considered as the busiest day of the week for fast food restaurants? And they're one of the most successful. Can we say drawing the wealth of the world, operating in glory and excellence? Well, that's finances. How about Mother Teresa? A woman who was just born in the backwoods of Skopje, Macedonia. If you've been to Skopje with us, there's a little tile down in the center square, home of Mother Teresa. You know, she was born there and raised there in a small home, very poor, but has set in her heart to minister to the poor, be literally what I would say rich in faith, which that is a quote out of the book of James. And here's a woman that when she passed on and went to the Lord was very rich in the area, very rich. Now, I'm not talking about rich dollar signs, y'all, but very rich, so much that I'll never forget when Bill Clinton invited her to some state dinner, she rebuked him in a speech before him, and here he is, and he's rebuking. I'm going, only a rich woman of God could do that to a president of the United States. Woman who would operate in glory and excellence, rich in this world. Not according to dollar signs, but rich in relationships, rich in faith. Excellence, a woman of excellence. Yeah.
When Henry was passing away in Georgia, they heard about him through the local news. And they have a ranch. The owner of Chick-fil-A has a family ranch, and the goal is similar to Kairos. They just have a little miniature train and a little miniature town, and it's a, you know, think of like Sinkland Farms, but like bigger, out in the middle of nowhere. They heard about Henry dying, and they closed the ranch for the whole day. And they opened it up just for the family to come, just so he could spend a whole day there with family. Yeah.
Praise God. I like that. You know what Sean Hash did? When we first bought Kairos, we're working, you know, crazy on it. Sean knew that was a medical doctor at Montgomery County Hospital. Contracted ALS and was in the final stages of life, literally. And Sean got talking to him. He says, what do you want to do? He said, I would just love to be able to ride out in the woods with my daughter again. And so we did one day, Sean. We strapped him into the middle of my four-wheeler, and the daughter on one side and Sean on the other side and me following along behind in case something happened. And making memories, just like Sean said. Sean has. I mean, that was so cool to me. You know, heart of that. That's what it's about, you know? Becoming rich, that guy experiencing something that was his passion with his daughter. That's awesome, Joe. Thanks for sharing that. To participate and partner with God that releases the resources of heaven into our lives. Like I said earlier, it's on his terms. Not that he's bargaining with us that we have to fulfill something. It's like breathing. To live, you have to breathe. To fly in an airplane, you have to operate according to the assignments of the laws in nature, laws of gravity, laws of aerodynamics as a whole, to fly. And it's like that with God. Here's how he ordered creation. And really, I'll be honest with you, what I see in the Word of God, it just narrows down into three categories of stuff to partner with him. An atmosphere of excellence, an attitude of blessing, and a heart to give thanks. Who said it this morning? Nick. Was that an accident? Just to give thanks? Let me tell you something. That's one of the most powerful wealth releases into your life, is ability to give thanks. And so I just want to go through these. There's whole sermons on each one of these individually. And we don't have the time to doing that today. So I just want to introduce these to you that you can meditate on them and ask the Lord to reveal things to you about these things. The first one is excellence, an atmosphere of excellence. That wherever you go, that you create this atmosphere of excellence. Well, what is an atmosphere of excellence? I was talking to Lee about this last week. In the world, they try to, you know, there's not many definitions about what is excellent. I do want to tell you this. This is the excellence of God. We're called into the excellence of God, not the excellence of men and women. And I will say this to you. I believe this. The excellence for me is different than the excellence that God has for Mitch. However, there is God excellence. So it's not right for me to judge what Mitch does or says or views as excellence. And so, you know, don't get caught in this performance thing when I start talking about this. Because also, excellence is a thing of faith. It's a thing of the heart. And then any actions that correspond to it come out of the thoughts and conclusions of the heart. And so be careful when we talk about this. And so, but I just want to introduce it today. Because what is the definition of excellence? You see it in Philippians 4:8. Whatever is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely. I'm skipped over one. True, honorable, right, pure, lovely, good repute. And notice what it says. If there's any excellence, anything worthy of praise. Excellence, the way it words it in Greek, that summarizes those previous six statements. Those things, true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, and good repute. Those are the characteristics of excellence. And if you operate in these things, you're participating with the very nature of God. Now, again, we'll talk about this another time, but I do ask you this, to pursue and ask the Lord to give you revelation, because I will tell you this, it does not come naturally. That's why it says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, where it says, adding to your faith, in your faith, put excellence. And then after that it says, in excellence, put knowledge. Because why? We have to have a knowledge of excellence in our faith. Y'all, I was not raised up to think in relationship to excellence of God. Now, I was raised up to think in the excellence of how to do things, which I very treasure at this point in time. You know, that one right there, words in my dad's head still, his words still echo in my head. If you're going to do it, son, do it right. I was with Andrew Fuller out there on Kairos this week, and we were just stacking wood. And I'm serious here. So I'm stacking this wood that's over on the side over there, and I'm just hearing, if you're going to do it right. Not obsessively, but my heart was, really, seriously, if a customer sees that, they'll see excellence. That was my heart. When we have the property, when we have, you know, picnics out the property. Mitch knows I'm a stickler, but let's weed eat it, y'all. Let's weed eat it. All the weeds. Let's get it all weed eated. My heart is two things. One is that it when it's excellent and clear, mamas feel safe with their kids. And it, you know, it just provides a safe atmosphere, and it just causes things to rise up in people in a positive manner. And so anyway, so excellence, an attitude of blessing, 1 Peter 3, 9. And y'all, there's different facets of blessing, that we are a blessing. That wherever you go, whatever you're doing, it's a blessing. It's a blessing. It's a blessing. And guess what? If wherever you go, you're a blessing. You know what happens is people want to be around you. They want to invite you into it because the blessings of the Lord on you will come upon them. And it's so cool to watch that and see the people operate in that. And so an attitude of blessing, that wherever that you know how to bless, you do know how to bless. You know, that you are a blessing, that you know how to bless. And there's a third one. My mind went blank, and we'll talk about it at a later time. And the fourth one, the third one is the heart of thanksgiving. And I'll be honest with you. It's really simple. Atmosphere of excellence, an attitude of blessing, and a heart of thanksgiving. I guarantee you this, and I don't guarantee it, but I believe this with all my heart. If you and I can operate in an atmosphere of excellence, attitude of blessing, and a heart of thanksgiving, whatever you do will prosper. And that's where I'm in a phase of my life right now. I'm going, okay, God, change it all. You know, order my life in a way, Lord. I want to order my life in a way that conforms to an atmosphere of excellence, an attitude of blessing, and a heart of thanksgiving. Because why? Wherever, like with Jehoshaphat, man, when the armies were arrayed against them and were coming against them, he called the children of Israel together and the fast, and they get a word from the Lord. And go to the next slide, if you would, please. That when Jehoshaphat and his people came, well, I'm sorry, back up one. I skipped over it. Sorry. Notice what it says. He says, as they went out before the army and said, give thanks to the Lord. You ever thought about that? Give thanks. For what? You're about to face an army. You could be dead. Give what? Give thanks. Here's a crazy thing. A guy was speaking to me even about blessing. About a blessing that you when you bless something. Well, we'll talk about it in a second. See, I'm getting excited about this stuff. I get ahead of myself. But here, they're giving thanks for something before they have it. And guess what? They get it. Notice, go to the next slide. Notice what's released. When Joseph and his people came to take their spoil, they found much among them, including goods and garments and valuable things, which they took for themselves more than they could carry because the spoils were so much. That's all a result of giving thanks. Giving thanks. So, three things that literally are crucial things in this. Atmosphere of excellence, attitude of blessing, and a heart to give thanks. Now, the Lord told me to close out this thing with this passage of Scripture. It just is a testimony of the abundant God and Jesus partnering with God for His abundance to be released. It's one I talked about before, but it was when Jesus fed the 5,000. And there's a few things, or six things, that the Lord just told me to highlight here. And to start at Matthew 6:34, is that when Jesus went ashore, He saw a large crowd, and He felt compassion for them. Now, y'all, this is not a time that when Jesus had everything together and that He's just been a time of refreshed from a sabbatical and, time of resting. Do you realize what happened just before this? His cousin, John the Baptist, who He loved dearly, had just been beheaded. And also, everywhere He's going, He cannot get away from people. So He gets He gets in this boat, goes the other side of the lake, and there he comes on. The people are going all the way around to catch up with him. And he sees these people, and he has compassion on them. You know what I call that? I call that an excellence in relationship to people. Priority of wealth. You know, about time and is one of the important things of riches. It is very important, wealth, that you can have. But also in relationship to his physical body. But interesting to me that Jesus sees the people and he has compassion for them. And he cares about them, about what's happening to them. Sort of like what Joe mentioned about Chick-fil-A doing, about saying, okay, we'll just stop everything for this one family. And I don't know, I do want to tell you this, y'all. Can I ask this question? What's the price of an individual? When I was praying about this morning, when does the cost of an organization become more than an individual? When does the cost of a church, the price of a church, become more than one person? And what I heard the Lord saying this morning, it says, it never is. But God, one individual is worth it all. He leaves the 99 to go for what? The one. And so that is a hardcore place and level of excellence. And I say this, if there's any businessmen in here, I say this to you. If you can make loving on people with honor and dignity your number one thing, you will be successful. It will drive all other wealth in some way, shape, or form. And it go on. The second thing the Lord really put on my heart is where Jesus calls us into this, what I call the excellence of contentment. Now, these are in these verses in Philippians 4:8 and also the attitude of blessing, which we'll talk about at another time. But I want you to notice this with Jesus. He said to them, how many loaves do you have? See, right before this, he goes and he's really pushing the disciples. He's saying, he shows them all these people and he says, you feed them. And they go, how are we going to do this? It would take over 200 denarii worth of bread to feed with these people, and that will not be enough. We could go in town and get it. You want us to do it? You want us to go? And so obviously you see in Jesus' ministry, they got money. Because one thing there, they're going to take 200 denarii, and they're going to go buy a bunch of food. And also, Judas was stealing something, y'all. He wasn't stealing, you know, just anything. He was stealing money. And so anyway, what we're seeing here is that when they're in a lack, what Jesus does is amazing to me in how to generate wealth, the power to make wealth. He calls them into contentment, and he says this. Notice what he says. How many loaves do you have? And he says this, go look. What do you have? Go look. Well, Moses, he's going to part the Red Sea. Eventually, he's going to confront Pharaoh, and God says, what's in your hand? That's all he had, a staff. That's all I got. Remember when we were going to build this building? None of y'all heard this illustration so many times, you're probably sick of me speaking about it. But when we had to buy this building, we need $125,000. God says, what do you have? Well, Lord, Josh and Raina already put in $5.20. That's all we got. And guess what? With God, it's enough. And so, because see here, y'all, you think about this. There's contentment is the antithesis to lust and the love of money. See, when you're in a place of contentment with what you have, then you can call into being that which does not exist, not out of sin, not out of need, but out of contentment, out of fullness. When Jesus said, peace be still in the storm, he did not speak that out of need. He spoke that out of fullness because peace was in him. I remember I was in an airplane one time and the plane was bouncing all over the place. And I go, well, Jesus said peace to the storm. So I started going, peace. And it seemed like the more I said peace, the more it bounced and the more I got tribulated. And all of a sudden I'm going, Lord, what is going on? With Jesus, maybe I just need more faith. And the more I'm trying to generate faith, the more the plane's bouncing, and the more I'm going, peace, peace, peace. You know, God said, well, and he really spoke to my heart. The paraphrase of it is, Rick, when you start speaking out something to cause something to change, you got to have it in you first. Because you're speaking out of need and not out of fullness. And see, Jesus calls us into contentment. He goes, what do you have? What do you have? Go look. So I say this, whatever the need is in your life right now, Jesus is saying, what do you have? Look. Look for it. Because with God, seeds are it. He looks for the seed to bless. Go to the next slide. Notice this. And literally what she does, this is the excellence of ordering. So all of a sudden, before he blesses things and he causes things to happen, notice what he does. He commanded them all to sit down by groups on the green grass in groups of hundreds and fifties. I mean, you got over probably close to 12,000 people there, 5,000 men, and you got to consider there's women and children. And so it's, theologians speculate it was somewhere around 12,000 people there. And he says, sit down. And hundreds and fifties. And he's going to distribute. He ordered it. It talks about in Psalm 90. No, I'm sorry, Psalm 50. It says, Lord, that we order our way aright, that we may behold your salvation. And we'll talk about this another time, but this is one of the characteristics of excellence that Jesus was operating in, is to order the wealth. You know, Mitch and I were talking about this last week. Mitch is one of these guys that just, you know, we give him a hard time about his coupons. You know? I think he must have got married on a coupon. I mean, said, do you have a coupon, Leah? But you know what? He and I were talking about it, you know, because Mitch, we were talking about, you know, the difference between us. And I go, I just looked at him. I told Mitch, don't you ever, ever try to change from who you are. Paraphrase. Because Mitch has one of those gifts of God that reminds me of Big Ed that orders everything aright. It does. And it's a blessing to me and an inspiration to me. And that's a characteristic of Jesus. Because, you know, that's order. Wealth is one of the ways to make wealth. It's really crazy. I tell one on him. He did the internship back in night, and he and Leah did the internship. Right, they got married in June. And the internship started in July. Okay? And they prayed about generating support. Back in those days, the interns didn't work. All they did was do ministry. Alongside me. We don't ministry to campuses. And so Mitch and Leah prayed about it, and they felt like the Lord said no to sending out any kind of letters, anything like that. And so they came into the internship program with X number of dollars in their savings account, and I hope I say this right. So don't let me exaggerate in any way, shape, or form. But I'll never forget when they, after the internship program, they went with me to East Stone Gap to pastor. And I'll never forget them sitting, Mitch sitting there with the deacons and going, well, Mitch, we can only pay you this. And I think it was probably only about $7,000 or $8,000 a year to pay them, and we'll give you a place to live. No, you lived with us for first, but then they were going to give you a place to live. And then Mitch goes, you know, well, y'all don't understand. You know, I had to believe God for the internship program. And then he did this interesting thing. They get the Big Stone Gap. You know what he does? He pays for a car with cash. He buys a car with cash. I'm going, you just did the internship program. How did you do that? How did you make wealth? Were you selling stuff on the side? I can tell one. But anyway. But you know what? Ordering creates wealth. It's amazing. But go on to the fourth one. The thing that happened. This is what I'm talking about. The excellence of blessing. Excellence of blessing. Good repute. Good report in Philippians 4:8. That's this. Blessing. Notice what Jesus does. He says, okay, they go look. They find, well, five loaves and two fish. And one of the disciples, he, You know, they go, Lord, what is this among so many? Jesus says, let me have it. And you know what he did? He blessed the 5 loaves and 2 fish. He blessed it, y'all. Now catch what I'm trying to say. Because when you bless something, you do not recognize the lack. You're blessing what you've got. I want to say some of you in here don't have enough money to pay your bills. Yeah. God's calling you to bless it. Whatever you got, bless it. Don't complain about the lack. Bless it. Bless it. And then you know what he does? In John 6:11, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, he blesses. When you're blessing, you say, oh, Lord, I bless these 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Bless you, Lord. I bless. I declare these 5 loaves and 2 fishes are blessed. Now, some of you got some seed in this room, and you want to declare over it blessed. Not lack, blessed. And you're going, well, you got this little bitty seed, and you need this bunch, whatever. And you're going, God, and we want to look at this, and we declare this lack. And we worry about this lack. Do you realize that fear and anxiety are the antithesis to the love of God and faith? It's the antithesis. Why worry about it? Bless it. And y'all, I need some people to remind me of this stuff later on, okay? And I love it when people do. It's so cool. So in other words, he blessed it. And go into the next one, go to John. And you know, this John, you catch what else he did. And this is when, then he took the loaves, having given thanks. So he blessed it, and then what did he do? Gave thanks. Lord, I thank you for these fish. And so, how did 5 loaves and 2 fish become so much that 5,000 people, go to the next slide, where it says they ate as much and were satisfied. He took the 5 loaves, 2 fish, looking up to heaven, and he blessed the food, broke the loaves, kept giving them to the disciples to set before them, and he divided up the 2 fish among them all, and they all ate and were satisfied and picked up 12 baskets of the broken pieces. I want to say this, y'all. Anything not of faith is sin. You know what? Our faith being more precious than gold. It's one of the greatest resources you will ever have, more than any money. More than any kind of money you could ever have. Your faith is so much. Y'all ever heard, did I ever tell y'all about the joke about the guy who made a deal with God that he could take all of his wealth to heaven? Did I ever tell y'all that one? I only know a few jokes, but this is not really a joke. But will y'all laugh when I tell, if I... I don't know if it's a joke, but this guy made a deal with God, and God said, you know, hey, you can take all your wealth to heaven with you when you die. So he's just figuring, okay, well, how do I get all this wealth in heaven? So what he did was he just liquidated all his assets, and he put it in the most valuable place thing on earth, and that was gold. You know, so he said, okay, I'll take it. And y'all probably can already see where it's going. But anyway, but he takes all this gold, and so he shows up at heaven, at the heaven's gates with all this gold. And this angel asks him, he says, you know, where are you going with this? And he says, man, well, God told me I could bring all my wealth to heaven. And an angel says, what are you bringing pavement into heaven for? Thank you. That's my one joke. But it is so true to me. The greatest wealth on this earth is pavement in heaven. I don't know where I'm going with that. Yeah, it's not true wealth. So I just want to the place I want to call us into today is that we, every one of us in this place, have got some seed that we have. And God's telling you, look for it, find it, see it, and then bless it. If you've been cursing the seed in you, in the lack or the loneliness or whatever it may be, you may be having a lack in relationships or having a lack in time, whatever it may be, God's calling you to look for it and bless it and give thanks. Give thanks for the provision before you ever see it. In everything, give thanks, for this is what? God's will for you. So anyway, got anything you want to add, homeboy? Sort of, but go ahead. You got something you want to add?
I did pay full price for my wife. I did. She said she reminded me of that. I am full price, by the way. There was no coupons. So, anyway, I had to say that. Just want to get that in. That's right. That's right. there was just we're going to move. Well, I think Rick's going to come in. I want him to pray that over us, but I know Leah, and I'm going to ask Hannah to just be over here as well. If there was a word this morning that came forth for, you know, kind of resurrection life, like that death going into life, or maybe there was also a word in relationship to, you know, things that you felt like that were cursed, that he's making a blessing. And so I want the prayer teams to come on up and get ready. And I know we're already over time, but I just want to have them come. If I can have the worship team just play a little bit in the background. And so can we just stand just as we're going to close? I just really believe that God wants to release this area of glory and excellence into this body. I know he wants to release it in me as an individual, but I'm believing that he has that for us as a body. And so I'm going to have Rick come and pray that. But yeah.
And you know, the biggest lack you can have in your life is a lack of peace and love. No salvation in your life, the reality of God not in your life. And I just want to invite you, and you need to know Jesus, your Lord and Savior, come and go for it. And so anyway, so we want to pray. Now just in your heart, I just want to ask you to, whatever it is that's going on in your life, this lack, I just want to pray that God would just break off us the spirit of poverty that would be enveloped in fear and anxiety and complaining. Lord, we just want to rise up as sons and daughters of the Most High God. And Lord, we want to just come in agreement with who you are. Lord, the reality of you, Lord, to birth in us in all the fullness of your glory and your excellence. God, we want to come on and we want to take and create atmospheres of excellence wherever we go. Lord, we want to come in this place and have attitudes of blessing. And Lord, a heart of thanksgiving. Lord, forgive us for these places and times where we operated in compromise, doing things short, just doing things in a way just to get by with it. But Lord, forgive us. Lord, doing things in places that where nobody would ever see except for us that we compromised in those places and in those ways, Lord. Forgive us. But Lord God, you called us to whatever we do, do it as into the name of the Lord, not as pleasing men, but you. Knowing that you are the one who rewards. And so forgive us, God, for compromise. And Lord, I just want to call out to those seeds that you've given us. And Lord, where we've seen these seeds as lack, Lord, we want to bless the things that you have given us. Lord, forgive us for getting allowing the love of money or a longing for serving money or lusting after money or resources, God. Lord, rather than longing and lusting after you, longing for you, God. And we bless that which you've given us. We bless your spirit that is in us to empower us. Lord, we don't have to call something to happen. Lord, all we have to do is operate in who we are in the reality of you birthed in us, God. And Lord, we want to give thanks. I just call it forth right now, an attitude, a heart of giving thanks, Lord. Giving thanks, giving thanks. Oh, God. Jesus, we bless you, Lord. We thank you, God, for your goodness. I thank you for every one of my brothers and sisters, Lord, and I declare blessing over them. Lord, I break off of us the spirit of poverty, the spirit of lack. I break it off of us in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, God. Poverty in relationships, poverty in time, poverty in faith. Poverty, Lord, as it pertains to the things that have been given to us in Christ Jesus. Lord, we call us into the riches that are given to us in Christ Jesus. We have been blessed with every spiritual blessing. We thank you, Lord, for those. Thank you for those blessings, God. We thank you for those blessings, God. We're blessed. We're blessed. We're blessed. I declare it into us, Lord. We're blessed in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray for kids that have wandered astray and it seems like lack. Lord, I declare they're blessed. I declare they be called back unto you, God, in Jesus' name. Jesus. Jesus. Yeah, Lord. We just want to invite you, if you need prayer, we'll agree with you up here. Whatever the need may be, we'll agree with you. If you need Jesus, is there something?
Just real quick.
Yeah, just thinking about the widow's mite, and when Jesus saw her response, he called out the difference between giving out of abundance and getting out of, and what he said about the widow's mite is she gave everything she had to live on. And so I think the call too today could be, am I in a place, even in my relationship with the Lord in this life, where I've just given out of convenience or out of the times when I'm able to, out of some of the excess, or am I giving him out of everything I have to live on? Am I giving all of myself to him?
So there's a call. I'm going to have Joe stand up here. If that's you, I want you to come just get prayer in relationship to that or salvation. Obviously, there's healing in the house, and maybe you got that word in relationship to healing. These men and women will pray for you as well. So if you have anything in your physical body you want prayer for, come and get it this morning. Anything in the spiritual things that we talked about, come and get prayer this morning, okay? And come back and join us tonight. Remember, the Joel meeting is at what time? 5. Remember, it's not 6:30. It's at 5. And then join us for International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church, 7 o'clock at BCF. So, all right? You are dismissed. Have a great week. Come get some prayer.